live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
That wasn't good. I was just doing Broadway. Meeting it. I'm very excited. Alex White is here. My voice is crackling. It's beautiful normally, but it's a long, arduous weekend. Not really. Cofield and Company. Alex White is here. It's Cofield. We're in studio. Findlay Toyota Studios. Griffin is here. Much to get into. We are processing Team USA playing a game today on the men's side in basketball. So we'll get to some of that. Because that was one of the big stories of the weekend was USA. And I don't know how many people tuned in. I'd have to look at the audience numbers. I know I did. And seeing USA struggle against South Sudan really exploded the internets. And this is what we need. This is what we need, at least for my narrative, my predictions to come true or come through. So what's going on?
Monday. Happy to be here. A lot to talk about.
Alex, of course, does shows for South Point Studios. We do have games of the year from South Point that we'll review in the middle of the show. 5 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere, but 5 o'clock hour. We're going to preview UNLV's football opponents starting from the beginning of the season. We will preview the Houston Cougar game on the road August 31st. And yes, the season is right around the corner. Alex, August 24th is week zero. There is one Mountain West game, I think, being played. At least that's on the board. There might be multiple. Sometimes they're not going to, all the time they're not going to put out an FCS, FBS matchup. But yeah, Reno's playing on that first weekend, and then it all opens up on August 31st.
I can't wait. Just a little over a month away. I'm really looking forward to the season. And I mean, I was iffy about all the conference changes. It is a lot going on. But now when you look at the games of the year, I mean, there is no bad Saturdays.
Well, that was
not that there ever was when you coach football.
I think, but you know what I mean. I don't think you're being harsh. There are Saturdays, especially early in the season, where there may be, four or five primo games. There's a lot of good, say, middle and bottom part of, what do we call it now, Power 4, soon to be Power 3, it seems like, or Power 2. But no, there'd be weeks, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. One of them would be a little bit lighter on, big matchups. But with consolidation, we've now got these mega conferences, and some of the matchups earlier are incredible. And the other thing is some teams, I'm going to use this term, well, one, enjoy it for now, but two, some teams got caught in their own schedule. I'm sorry, their old schedule that they set up. Like 5 years from now, when the SEC and Big Ten might be even bigger.
Right.
Is LSU going to seek out a USC game? Maybe, but I think conferences are going to go, I think they're probably going to go to maybe just one non-con, if not zero non-con. And really, we've talked about the scenario in the Mountain West Conference. There's one bid for all group of five. When UNLV looks up, but especially like Boise looks up and they're like, well, that Oregon game that we booked, 5 years ago, now we got to play it on this freaking schedule. And we've got one opening in all of, the college football playoff. And for the big boy teams, like why are they incentivized to play anyone decent? Your first three games until the conference tells you have to play all conference games should be absolute little sisters of the poor.
Oh, all cupcake games, because really, I mean, that is jeopardizing their chances to get into the playoffs, right? I mean, and it always has been. You can't lose those first few games on your schedule, but you're right. I mean, to put somebody that's actually pretty good from a lower conference on your schedule early, it's pretty.
Well, I'll give you a little insight. Not that I have that much insight on this, but UNLV would like to make a run like they did last year, where they're in first place in a tie at the end of the Mountain West Conference season. They want to be better. There's an amazing vibe over there, because I think the rest of the market is, or a lot of fans in the market, especially casuals, are like, bowl game? 9 wins? Success! And then the vibe from the coaches and some of the players in the spring and now early in the summer / fall when they're going to open up camp on August 1st is like, nope, didn't get the job done. They didn't say failure, but like the end of the season, not acceptable. And you're like, okay, standards are pretty high. But I'll go behind the curtain a little bit. UNLV, in putting this year's schedule together, they open at a Big 12 team, Houston. They have Utah Tech in between. Then they're at Kansas, who they played in the bowl game. And Kansas, like, Houston is a developing program with a new coach. And they're picked last. Now, they still have good talent. I don't think it's Big 12 talent yet. Kansas is a legit top four team, top five team in the Big 12. And they showed it last year in Arizona against UNLV. Now, going behind the curtain, UNLV had Army on the schedule. Well, that ended. Everyone who was on Army's non-con, because Army's, you know, joining a conference, out. Army game's out. So then they're looking around the schedule, and do you know what game that is that filled that gap?
No, I don't.
Syracuse, which for UNLV, they could have been like, you know, who's Utah Tech 2? Who is it? Like, let's, you know, let's get whatever, Idaho State in here again.
Right.
They scheduled Syracuse, so they scheduled aggressively, even with the pressure of having to be just about perfect to get that one group of five spot in the playoffs.
I love that philosophy because you can never get complacent in sports. So, sure, that wasn't good enough. I mean, they have goals in mind, and they didn't win the conference championship game. So right there is another bar that they have set. So that is good, but that is a very tough.
I mean, you
got to
be
non-con.
Honest, Alex. You were on the cheer squad. You were out there for the home games, like I was many times. On, you know, it's funny. I walked into the studio today. I'm like, yeah, it's hot as Hades in here. That turf at Sam Boyd Stadium, holy moly.
Oh, yeah. It was brutal. And those were some down times for UNLV football. But
and that's where I was going, right?
Yeah.
If I had told cheer squad Alex White, hey, UNLV is going to be – they're satisfied with a 9-win season, but in a lot of ways they're like, not good enough.
Oh, my gosh.
If I told you that back then, you're like, okay, right?
Yeah, it would be hard to believe. Be like, well, wait, so they already had that season? And can they replicate that?
Mm-hmm. And looking ahead to that 5 o'clock spot with one of the Cougar insiders right now, South Point has 3 Cougars and 56.5, I think it is, on games of the year. And actually, that's not even a game of the year. That's a look ahead because most books in town, really all books in town, have week one and week zero already booked.
They do, and I really like it. South Point, they have quite a few of UNLV games on their games of the year, too. Some of them have already gotten some action.
Ooh,
so
okay, save those. Save those for, we'll do that around 4:45. So like I said, Alex is very much into making the numbers. She comes from a numbers family. She's down at South Point doing South Point Studios shows. The reaction, while understandable, well, there's two things to this. One, USA beating South Sudan 101-100 is shocking, and the end of the game was scary as hell. It's an exhibition game. So on one hand, what I've been telling people for the last couple of weeks, like, I don't think this is going to be easy. Now, the fact that it was South Sudan, relatively unknown, now known, the spread was 43.5. Now, is that bookmakers being morons?
It could be a little bit of unknown and not really knowing about this team and really how to handicap them. But it's pretty scary for USA. It's very ironic that the whole conversation has been, could this Team USA beat the dream team?
Right.
And then that happens, right? But
that's awesome. I'd worry more. The mythical thing's not going to happen. I still believe that 2024 USA would have a good time with 92 USA, but like that needs to be out of everyone's mind because the mission in front of them,
yes,
this is fact. The 92 path to a gold medal, the dream team path to a gold medal, was nothing compared to what basketball is today. There are so many more great basketball players around the world, guys who can't make the NBA play professionally in high-level leagues, and you saw when they described that South Sudan team, they had 3 players with NBA history, but they had other players playing all over the world. I've mentioned a couple weeks ago, Cooper Flagg is going to Duke with this Malwatch kid who's 7'2 with a wingspan of, I don't know, 100 inches. I'm not saying South Sudan's a favorite in the field, but if that's an example of a team that's on the bottom half of the bracket or bottom half of the overall field, there's a lot of talent. We saw it again today. USA was down 8. They wound up beating Germany in exhibition, 92-86. So this setup is friggin' awesome drama, right?
Yes.
It's because, we'll have him in later in the week, but Greg Salerno with just constantly, and I like Greg generally, he's one of the company members, he generally disrespects old-timey sports, which sadly is like my era. But he constantly disrespects them and points to evolution, and he's like, any sort of hiccup by USA, he's like, oh, they'll be fine. Like, I don't know, bro. They better have it together or they're not going to be fine. And then I'll say it right now. Mark it, right? Mark it down right now. This team doesn't win a gold. It is, I'm going to put it this way, because this is the way some people think. It is the final devastating black mark on LeBron's legacy. People will never forget that they didn't win gold. And it will be held against, he could average, he could go 35, 17, and 11 for the whole tournament. And people will still be like, LeBron, loser.
Oh my gosh, it'll be insane. All the remarks on social media, all the media outlets will be talking about LeBron. I completely agree with you. And you need to clip that hot take you said earlier about that the rest of the country has caught up and there are great athletes. The rest of the world, thank you. And there are great athletes everywhere. And that changes. And now this Team USA actually might have a little bit of a tougher road here. But
well, it's going to be tougher. They should know it's tough. If they didn't know it was going to be tough, here's the wake-up call these last couple exhibition games.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, no one took it freaking right in the chops more than a guy named Kenny White, who was on with us on Friday and said, imaginary 2024 team against 92 team, he'll lay 25 on the new guys. And immediately after 101-100, with a last-second stop and a LeBron drive, ISO drive to go ahead, Kenny White got it.
Yes. Sammy P, he sent me the tweet, too.
Good.
He immediately, though, after we had talked to him on Thursday, then Sammy tweeted immediately, hey, I'll take 25. Please give me those points. So then, yeah, a lot of people just dove in on that. But
so earlier I was explaining 43.5 when they set the number. Not only is it your power ratings, but it's also you want to make sure you have a number that's not going to get crushed and that you can at least balance out decently two-way action.
Right.
Which brings up, USA plays South Sudan in the Olympics on July 31st. So what are we today? July 22nd? So
yes.
9 days away. They just beat them 101-100. So the line next time is what? USA 6?
No.
No. No. I love you. You look down, you're like, okay, he mentioned, wait, 6? No.
No way.
Why not? Why are you shocked?
That's just way too big of an adjustment. That's the whole thing with the bookmakers. That's what I have learned. Never over-adjust, but you do want to be aggressive and here, as we're seeing these teams play, and today's game will go definitely with Germany, how that ended. They didn't cover again. So now that is going to be another adjustment here. But dropping from four or going from 43 all the way down to 6 is way too much. So many people would bet USA -6, right? They want bets on both sides. I don't know if you would get any people taking South Sudan +6 with that, right? You want to have.
No.
You want a number that they'll actually want to take and that is going to fall relatively close.
To start a Cofield & Company this week, right here in the Findlay Toyota Studios, Griffin is here. So on the way back, they have named a flag bearer for the opening ceremonies. We'll give you what the number might be in South Sudan and USA in the Olympics, considering that South Sudan just got edged by USA 101-100. But on that flag bearer thing, I think the person they named is probably the most disliked and hated flag bearer in the history of this country at the Olympics.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Just getting started here on Monday. Any hands are opening all over the country. Very interesting Raiders angle. This is insane. I'll say NFL, gee damn you. You're doing it again. It's not even our Raiders. Like, I don't even look at it like our Raiders, but it's such a history. So we'll get to that a little later in the show. Alex White is a company today. It's Cofield. We were just talking about USA men. We'll get to the USA women. That was dreadful. Can't even beat the all-star team here. Huh? They're going to win a gold? All right. 101-100 over the weekend, USA men over South Sudan. That was shocking. I think a lot of people were like, South what? But we had told you, right, on this show, we do the research. And I had actually looked up what South Sudan was, because apparently I missed out on current events back in 2011 when they split the country. But they're developing basketball power, maybe. On social media, quotes like embarrassing, dream team would beat the real dream team, the 92. South Sudan by 70. I don't know about that. The latest news around the USA men's basketball team, Alex, is LeBron James will be the flag bearer for the entire U.S. team at the Paris Olympics opening ceremony. I say, yay. He's the biggest name of any male sports figure in the United States. This is a good thing. But I also know what's coming.
Why so much hate towards LeBron? I don't. Just because he's not Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. And
there's a ton of factors.
Yeah.
Ton of factors.
But yeah, I mean, it makes complete sense to me to have LeBron James do this.
What about Simone Biles? What about someone who's an accomplished Olympian who's there again? Is Katie Ledecky back? I think she is.
Well, they're going to announce a woman.
What about Noah Lyles?
Right?
Sorry, they're going to announce?
They're going to announce a woman as well, which I think is actually from the women's Team USA. But Biles makes even better sense.
Ready? Let me do LeBron praying. And I don't think I can reach this table because I'm not 6'9". Let me lower the mic. I'm praying. This is important stuff. Please hire Being. Make the female flag bearer with me. Brittany Griner. God, my knees hurt. Maybe it's Simone Biles. Maybe let's not go with Brittany Griner. Text line 702-364-1100. Can you explain to Alex why so many people dislike LeBron James and in turn will be rooting against the USA men's team? Because that will happen. Oh. And it's not something that hasn't, let's use the right word, it's not unprecedented, because I was doing sports radio and this is not a flex. But back in 2004, 2006, 2008, there absolutely were Americans rooting against our men's basketball team.
It's terrible.
And I thought going into this that the women's team would actually have more detractors, because I actually think people are going to root against the women's team. But LeBron's summer of Bronny may have pushed him back ahead of the women.
Oh, that's true. That is
fair. I'll go 60-40. This is so weak. I should be like 90-10. I'll go 60-40. Americans are rooting for the men's team. And I'm by 40, I mean 40% of the people here are rooting against the men's team. And I'm going to go 55. What did I do? 60? Which one? I just confused myself. 60-40 women, 55-45 men. I think the women's team is more disliked.
I think we've already established I live under a rock, but I don't think you're giving enough people credit. Come on, 75-25 for both teams.
Okay. Who agrees with Alex that 75% of sports fans will be rooting for both of the American basketball teams? And also explain to Alex why LeBron should or should not be carrying the flag at the opening ceremony. 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. And my question of will LeBron be the most disliked flag bearer in American history? It's a very loaded question, because if you look at the list of flag bearers over time, I give you a wiki link there. There's not a, like, I'm not saying they're not recognizable names, but it was a different time in sports. And it was also a different time in this country where people felt like obligated. I guess if they had known what was going to happen at the 68 Olympics, then maybe they would have felt differently with the protest there. But it's different now. It's different. Social media amplifies everything.
Right.
And maybe you're right. Maybe you're not the one living under a rock. Maybe I'm just living under the social media rock. And that's my representation, where everything is loud and, you know, bombastic, and the dislike is like, you know, it's actually, the dislike is in the, feels like it's in the middle instead of the edges.
It is so loud. And people just say whatever they want. So I understand where you're coming from there. But so you do think he will be the most disliked?
Yeah, because there's no one. If you look at the history, first of all, no one even knows who has been walking out the flag. And it's generally someone who's kind of unknown, too. I mean, think about it. This is the first professional men's player who's carried out the flag. Now, the pros have only been in the Olympics since 92. But still, as big as the NBA is, as big as a presence that men's team has at the Olympics,
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
This is the first. So just other sports, but
that's over the years. Here's some of the flag bearers.
Okay.
2020 Sue Bird. I'm just doing summer. Michael Phelps, like, he's annoying, but like people didn't hate him. I don't even know who some of these people are, honestly. Come on. Am I supposed to know a fencer? God, I hated Marcel Zagunis. Didn't you? He drove me nuts with that poke in. That's stupid. Right? It's just dumb. Lopez Lemong? I don't even know what sport is that? It just says athletics. Am I supposed to know that? Am I misreading that? Summer of 2004, Dawn Staley. Dawn Staley now? In trouble. Dawn Staley back then? USA. USA. Remember Rulon Gardner? Kind of big, chubby, 285-pound limit wrestler. American hero. Oh, yeah. No, people love that guy. No, that was closing. Anyway. But opening ceremonies. Yeah, hockey. It was a female, Cammy Granato. That was 98. Bruce Baumgartner, wrestler, 96. Yeah, I mean, it's people who just don't have the fame that LeBron does, and he's been polarizing. So we'll get to some of the texts in a couple minutes. We're going to talk to Steve Kim, who I think is going to be all over this topic, in about 15. It's Cofield and Company here on a Monday.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So announced today that LeBron James, actually I think it was Steph Curry who told him, but LeBron James will be carrying the flag for the Olympic team in the opening ceremony representing the U.S., and I was telling Alex White, who's here as a company, that there's going to be a lot of negative reaction to this. It's just the way it goes. Early on, let's see. And I also explained, hey, text in and maybe explain to us why there's such a split on LeBron James, and especially in this case where he'll be carrying the flag. Someone said he's the biggest flopper ever. Okay, is that... make him not worthy of carrying the flag? Always complaining. His head got too big. Oh, okay. Trying to control teams, also making the Lakers draft Bronny. He thinks he's above everyone. What do you think? Is LeBron an egomaniac?
A little bit, and that we kind of saw that switch happen, right? Because then I remember a lot of LeBron fans when he was on Cleveland, and then like since he switched to the Lakers and then – kind of had that, thinks he's above everyone. I mean, how many coaches have they been through? Because I think they have to agree and get along with LeBron James. So in that sense, I understand. But it's funny you bring up Steph Curry. I bet you there's a lot of support for people who would have rather seen Steph Curry be the one doing this.
364-1100, 702-364-1100, or Finley Kia text line. A bunch of text in. Oh, look at that. And you do not have access to the text line. She's not looking at it. We restrict it to one person in the room because it can get extremely distracting. Someone said, should have been Steph, though. Carrying the flag. He's the face of the NBA. Well, that's fine, but the face of American sports, whether you like it or not, is LeBron James. I think. Unless you want to go Patrick Mahomes. But frankly, his conditioning right now disappoints me. So chubby guys can't be. Come on, man.
But football is
Griffin
king.
Gets so mad, he gives me a look like he's mushy. I'm not saying he's Cofield mushy, but he's a little soft right now. He's got to get into shape. Got to have a hard body to rep the – come on. So let's see. 364-1100, text line, Finley Kid text line on why LeBron should or should not be carrying the flag. Opening ceremony Olympics. Someone said you're effing kidding, right? LeBron hates America. Why would he be leading the American contingent? So what you're going to see in these texts is a list of, as you were asking about 10 minutes ago, why do people dislike LeBron so much? There is a laundry list that has been built over the years. Bronny's an additional, that whole story is an addition to the list, but the list is long and deep. Another one. On LeBron carrying the flag out. Text line. He was kneeling during the national anthem 4 years ago. That's a big one.
Yeah. It's just a lot of grudges being held. over a long period of
time. That's a grudge
that
people hold for a long time.
That one is, I understand, but I don't know. It's tough.
You're treating them with kid gloves. That's not a text. That's me yelling at you. another one. On LeBron, carrying the flag. Someone said, shouldn't he be carrying the Chinese flag? Oh! We need a rim shot. Okay. Following that up, someone said, La China should have been the flag bearer for China. Okay. All right. There you go. Text line. We got more. I'll get to more. And we're looking for positive as well.
Yeah. Where's the positive? Anybody, any supporters?
Welcome to
out
Sports
there.
Talk Radio. Not that you don't do it now. It's more video, but South Point Studios. Alex is in. Yep. There you go.
Yep.
Indoctrination. Oh, don't use that word. That's now a bad word.
Well,
364-1100. Go ahead.
Is there anyone else that you think should have done this instead? Or, I mean, can people text that as well? I guess
yes.
You had one that
yeah,
did say
yeah.
Steph.
Someone said Steph. And I mentioned, and you're right, there might be a female. They don't always do two. So we'll see. But, no, I can come up with some names, but I actually don't think.
But what about, is there another man? Women are just better anyway. So, yeah, of course, Simone. But no,
wait a second. I think they could have been creative. I'm sure there's someone with a super unique story. But he is, do I even say this? He is the representation of the American athlete. Now people are driving off the roads. Phone number, call in, 364-1100, 364-1100. We got two tickets to Fireworks Night. Alex will be out there as the host, the Aviators. Albuquerque, that is on Friday night, August 2nd, 7:05 first pitch, fireworks. You can get your tickets at aviatorslv.com. Two tickets to see the Aviators take on the Isotopes. Caller 7, 364-1100. We're going to bring in Steve Kim, boxing expert. A lot of fighting to talk about this weekend. But I wonder what he thinks about LeBron James carrying the flag, the American flag, at the opening ceremonies.
Steve Kim, the host of the 3 Knockdown Rule, joins Cofield and Company, presented by Snack Nutrition.
I don't know which of the vests production crew made this one for Steve. We might want to have an alternative rejoin with, this will be a song you don't know, but maybe some Martika. Steve knows what I'm talking about. Steve Kim is in. What's up, Steve?
Oh, Martika. We all fall down like toy soldiers.
Yes, yes. So dramatic, so dramatic. Well, damn, now I can't make the segue because I'm going to have to wait now. We're not getting good response on our text line about LeBron carrying the U.S. flag at the opening ceremonies. A lot of he's a traitor, he doesn't like the anthem, and La China. What's your reaction to him leading the opening ceremonies with the flag?
Well, all I can say is that your audience are a bunch of fine patriots, true Americans, and it just really speaks to the high level of intelligence that listens to you and your fine program.
Oh,
I love your audience. God bless them. And you know what? And God bless the USA. That's my response.
What is, because I didn't even check your guy Apex Jones today because I figured he might not even be alive anymore. His head might have exploded upon hearing this news because he's a little bit of a LeBron detractor and pro MJ. I'm guessing Whitlock will be probably on your side on this one. What do you think the biggest beef will be with LeBron carrying the flag?
I think you pointed it out. He's a great athlete. He's an all-time great. And let me rephrase that. He's a great athlete. And his durability and his longevity is to be respected and admired. But when I think of American patriots who love the country and are a unifying force, which in theory, which the Olympic team is supposed to do, I wouldn't have LeBron James in my top 100 of those participating athletes on this particular U.S. Olympic team.
Steve Kim's with us. Steve Kim 323 up on Twitter. All right. A lot of heat right now. A lot of heat around subjects like this. I'm the only sports talk radio in the country, host in the country, and I like to do this but misspeak it. But I'm the only one who started talking about odds for the presidential race and Kamala Harris being a bet worthy of taking when she was 6-1. Now we see what happens over the weekend. I know you're not a big gambler, but you can certainly analyze odds here. Now that it looks like Kamala Harris would be the front runner for the Dems, although others are up on the board, Trump is now minus 200 and Kamala is plus 200. What do you think of these odds, and what do you think of my claim a couple weeks ago? Hey, roll the dice at 6-1. You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't trust the process. I'll just leave it out there, and I don't trust the intelligence of the greater American public. I never thought that Trump was a shoo-in, even after what took place a couple of Saturdays ago. You know, I see what's going on, and look, voting has consequences. And I will say this for both sides. Be careful of who you vote for and why. We have to start talking about policy. You could talk about people's past, you know, whatever their ethnicity is. That's a great debate. I personally don't care about that when I'm voting for somebody. I don't vote on personality so much. I really don't vote on whatever you did in your personal life. That, to me, is inconsequential to leading the country. And I see a lot of the discourse, and a lot of it's funny. A lot of it's funny, Stephen. I retweet a lot of it. You know me.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's not the reason why I'm going to vote or not vote for somebody. Yeah, is it a good bet? Yeah, but it was a really good bet, like when you said it, 6-1.
Right, right. Michelle Obama, 20. Hillary Clinton, 25. Newsom, 30. Whitmer, 40. RFK Jr., 50-1. Mark Cuban, 300-1. So going to be an interesting follow here the next couple of days as things get solidified on the Dem side. Boxing-wise, did you watch Jake Paul over the weekend as he took on Mike Perry, bare-knuckle guy, UFC guy who didn't fare well, knocked him down multiple times, finished him off, and now we get all the hype we need, I guess, for the Tyson fight coming up in the fall?
Yeah, I mean, I watched it. It's kind of my job, and there was a prospect or two that I was keeping tabs on. One of them that got planted face first, very vicious knockout of Ashton Sills. Look, here's the issue with Jake Paul. He's way too good for these MMA guys and influencers. He's actually developed some boxing skills, some stand-up striking skills. I think where people go overboard is to really think he's actually beating somebody. Look, he's been very, very judicious in who he matches up with, and he basically handpicks his opponents. I don't get outraged by it. At the end of the day, this is a free market. You have the ability and the choice not to engage, not to participate in the viewership. But, you know, I guess the Mike Tyson fight is going to happen in November. There are indications that they're going to think better of it. And now I guess it's all systems go, because I know there's going to be some, quote-unquote, real boxers on that undercard, some younger prospects that are going to be placed on that card because, let's be honest, there's going to be a lot of exposure for them. But, I mean, do I think that Jake Paul has legitimized himself as a legitimate contender in boxing? As of right now, I would still say it's an emphatic no.
I know Michael Bisping from the UFC world was annoyed about Paul and Perry and the weight difference. I didn't see what Paul rehydrated up to. I'm guessing somewhere in the high 210s or 220, and I think that was Perry's kind of, you know, max weight area, but there was a pretty good gap. I know Ariel Helwani was saying it was a sizable difference, maybe you know, somewhere around 15 or 20 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, that was noticeable how much bigger and thicker throughout the torso and the shoulders Jake Paul was. And again, if they're over 200 pounds, and again, I don't count Bridger weight, they are theoretically heavyweights. Mm-hmm. I mean, what exactly is going to be the weight class that if Jake Paul ever decides to go for a quote-unquote real world title, is he even able to get to 200 pounds? And then, you know, I'll bring in the elephant in the room. Will there be real drug testing? Because there have been some rumors about that. And, you know, interesting thing about that undercard, Julio Cesar Chavez kind of trudged by and won a fight against an MMA guy. I think that's a future opponent. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I would not put it past Jake Paul to be able to beat this version of Chavez Jr.
Oh, wow. Okay. So on the boxing front, this is interesting. I've had some weird feelings about it, but Turki Alashik is getting more and more involved, and I see something about partnerships with Golden Boy, with Top Rank. What's going on here?
You know, I'm going to have to make some phone calls. Those press releases from both companies came out about 10 minutes apart in the morning. I'm not exactly sure what the partnership is. Does that mean they're co-promoting? Does that mean that they're going to be involved in bigger fights? Are they going to broker fights? I'm going to make some phone calls the next day or two. But, yeah, you're right, Steve, that the influence of that organization, the Riyadh season, the influence of Turki Alışık, it's not waning. But, again, let's see where they are in 2 years before we call this the complete takeover, because the reality is the show out here, which is about 15 minutes from where I reside at BMO Stadium, which is a really stacked card. I think it's a really good card top to bottom, headlined by Israel Madrimov taking on the great Terrence Crawford. They're having problems selling tickets. They really are. They've had some issues, and I think they've had to dump some tickets. I think the prices will be flexed down. Before we start anointing them as the saviors of boxing, throughout the years of history, boxing has always had an influx of investors and cash, and no one's ever been able to really take it over, right? So, you know, look, Turki Alışık obviously has been a force for good. He's been very influential. He's helped make fights that otherwise would not happen. But before we start saying that they're going to organize anything and take it over, again, let's see where they are with this in 2 years.
Well, along those lines, matchmaking is tough in boxing in the 21st century. And I know you talked to someone in Camp Loma. What's going on here with a potential tank fight?
Well, I talked to Angus Klimas, the respected manager for the three-time world champion. He basically said the guy wasn't in the mood. And there's always been a feeling, or at least for the last year or so, that Loma's heart's not really into this as it once was. I think he's one step out the door. At most, he has a fight or two left. And I just get the sense, and again, this is just me speculating, he didn't want to do another camp this year. I think he wants to do one camp a year, make some history, make some money. And if the deal is good enough into the future, I don't think the tank fight is completely off the table. But it is not going to happen in November, as it had been reported. I had gotten the sense that for a while, that no matter what anyone else was saying, that they were close, but they weren't at the goal line. And so, you know, when I spoke to Angus on Friday about a variety of issues, I got the sense that even Loma himself really didn't have his heart into going back into camp and then being able to be ready for November.
Steve Kim is with us. His spot is brought to you by Snack Nutrition. Got to get into some TV viewing coming up. More of those Untold are on the way from Netflix. What are we looking at here? We want to see the McNair documentary or the Michigan sign stealing from a year ago?
Well, I'll watch both because it has to relate to due to football. I'll never forget, Steve, way back. Steve McNair actually lost his life and was murdered in a murder-suicide. I think it was 4th of July of 2009. I'll never forget it. I was going to a function with some friends. The news came out that afternoon. We were all stunned. And that one is something that very, very, very melancholy subject. Now, the one about the sign stealing with Michigan, I'd like to see what this guy's story is.
Yep.
I thought that was a fascinating subject last year that we never really quite got all the answers to. And, you know, I've talked to Coach JB and some of his colleagues about how much does sign stealing go on in a game at any level of football and how much does it actually help? And I've gotten various different answers depending on the coach. Some coaches think it means a lot. Other coaches think it's completely overrated, to be honest with you. So I would like to know exactly what was his story. And this guy seems like this genius who has way too much free time on his hands. I mean, I like to think that I'm a pretty loyal, very committed Miami Hurricane fan, but, man, that guy went above and beyond for Big Blue.
Well, I hope they have good sources on this one, on the Michigan thing, because I do believe, and I watched two of the games real closely, that Michigan did have a real good feel, if you know what I mean, for the plays that were coming their way, and in particular in a couple games last year, and who knows, the year before? It might have been even deeper than that.
Yeah. So you're saying it wasn't just detailed scouting reports and really good film watching from the players?
No, I don't think.
How cynical!
I know. I don't think it was run-of-the-mill signal stealing. No, not at all. Not at all. All right, Steve. What do we got coming up this week on the podcast with Mario Lopez?
Well, we're going to be taping in it about 1 hour. I'm going to be meeting Mario up there at the studio. Here's what we got this week in studio: guest Sergey Boachuk, who takes on Virgil Ortiz in a couple weeks in your city at the Mandalay Bay, August 10th. And we're going to be pre-taping some interviews for the August 3rd show that's going to air next week. Israel Madrimov, who's actually facing Crawford, he will be joining us via Zoom, and we're going to talk about the great performance of Junto Nakatani and the Loma situation blowing up that buzzkill. So we're actually going to be a little bit more active in terms of how many shows we're going to do the next week or two.
Nice. Listeners send me suggestions for stories all the time. They all make it on the show. I need two things discussed. I need more Mario Lopez vacation talk. The Cabo stuff was great. I was always afraid of going in that water, and Mario set me straight on that one. Don't go in. And the other one is, can you guys bounce around now that you've gone gray? Are you treated like a more distinguished gentleman? Because I'm thinking about going more natural, or I might go the opposite. If you tell me there's no results, I might go jet black.
No, let me just say something. The Yelp reviews on my hair have been very high, a lot of five-star.
Okay.
A lot of high star. It's much higher than Delta Airlines this weekend, I'll tell you that much. They're having a rough week, God. But anyway, yeah, I'm getting a lot of compliments. Like, hey, Steve, I like that.
Nice.
And, you know, people like it. And, you know, look, when you blend it in and you go with that commitment to go all the way gray, it takes longer than you think. I thought it was going to be a month or two. It's really about 4.5 to 5. Eventually, you enjoy it, and you think, you know what, it's actually okay. So me personally, regardless of what Lopez says, I do not regret my decision one bit there.
That's right, Lopez. I couldn't believe he admitted that last week. He said he's very gray. Unbelievable. What a sham.
I mean, he probably wants to admit that Pernell Whitaker got robbed against his idol, Chavez.
Yes.
More than to admit that my hair looks very, very distinguished and quite elite.
Just tell him we can all take advantage of the senior discount.
Yeah, but he's on TV. He's doing that fancy Hollywood show. It's a little different. He's out in those Hollywood circles.
I get it. A little more telegenic than we are. Steve, I appreciate the time, buddy. Thank you.
All right. See you guys next week. Talk to you.
There he is. Steve Kim, 323. A lot of old guy hair talk there. And there was Cabo talk. Have you been to Cabo?
I have been to Cabo.
Yes. Did you try to go in the ocean or risk life and limb?
No, I did not.
What'd you hear about it?
Did
you just not try, not knowing?
I don't really swim in the ocean.
What?
In general.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
I mean,
little pollution. It doesn't matter. Your body becomes conditioned to it.
Why didn't you? What did you hear about it?
Well, that it's first of all, the drop off, like when you, I don't think it's like you walk out 10 feet and it's, 85,000 miles. But there's a big drop off. And because of that, it'll drag in.
Oh, yes.
You can go over to the kind of the downtown area where they've got that bar that Dana White was hanging out at Squid Row and some other really good spots. And you can go there. It's like very, beachy. Well, it's all beachy.
Shallow.
But yes. Yeah. It's a bay is the word I was looking for. All right. 5 o'clock. Check that. 4 o'clock hours on the way.